faith, foolishness, and presumption. Hallelujah. Faith, foolishness, and presumption. Faith acts on the will of God when it is, Brother Hagin, Kenneth Hagin will tell us that faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith is not taking a risk. That's not what faith is. Taking a risk. When it comes to faith, there's a clear direction of God's word. When you read about faith in Hebrews 11 verse 1, for example, it talks about, so then faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, verse 2, it says the elders obtained a good report. But look at that verse 3. It said, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, and the things which do appear were seen, were not made of things which do appear, which means that God spoke. That was the basis of believing. So faith is not groping in the dark and just saying, well, I guess this must be what God wants. And a couple of Christians are like that, where they assume God said something that he didn't say. Look at the case of people who they don't do blood transfusion. And they say the reason is because the Bible says the life of all flesh is in the blood. That the moment you do blood transfusion, there's another set that won't do the cesarean section. They say because the Bible says that the Hebrew women, they did not have to travail. You know, that's pure presumption. And people make a lot of assumptions, presumptions like that, assuming or presuming that God's word says something. It's the same thing when it comes to healing. And in fact, I was talking to somebody just last week, and we're talking about something. I won't want to mention the ailment. The person said, Pastor, would that not look like I'm not in faith? So I said, okay, so if you go ahead and get medical help, God will remove his hand. Person said, no, you have to take that out of your head. So I often say, faith is not the opposite of logic or thinking. The opposite of faith is unbelief. Is that clear? It's when my thinking begins to stand against the word of God that it becomes unbelief. Faith doesn't stop me from thinking. So I must see that very clearly. And particularly when you see natural affairs, there are some things that are natural affairs that the spiritual way to handle those things is to use your brain. That is, there's a natural thing, but the spiritual way to handle it is to typically use your brain. Like I said last week, your brain is a gift from God. Say, my brain is a gift from God. You know that God would rather you have your eyes than you not having eyes at all. He would rather you have eyes, right? That is why when people are blind, we pray for them so that they can see. If their eyes was of no use, why are we praying for them to be healed? Which means that there are things that God expects you to use your sight to perceive yourself. So it's very important to know that the opposite of faith is not logic, is not thinking. You're expected to think. And God gave you that capacity. I like how Pastor W. Hagin will say it. He says the natural plus the supernatural is the best combination. That's God's combination. The natural and the supernatural. Look at Jesus. Jesus did not feed on spiritual milk. I hope you know that one. We are trying to check the Bible whether it's true. It's assumed that when you say someone is a human being, you will know he went to the restroom. Because the Bible was written to people who have brain. It's assumed that you will know that Jesus, as a natural human being, will fart. And the fart will smell depending on what he ate. It's assumed that he will belch. It's so you will find that in the Word of God, but it's not in the Bible. What do you want the Bible to be writing? The Bible gives you room to know that you should know that you have brains to think. So it's not in the Bible. Does not mean I shouldn't do it. As long as what I'm doing does not contradict the written word. I said it again. The opposite of faith is not logic. So when you think, you say, when I'm thinking like this, it's though spiritual things are not supposed to be. No. God gave you a mind to use it. And last week we saw the importance of that. Let me go back to something we said last week about parables. Now, the use of parables largely is a recognition of it being God's creation. Parables. The parable of the sower. The parable of the dragnet. Which means that God uses the things that we see, we know, to communicate his own word. And I also said in the service today, parables show an intersection between the spiritual and the non-spiritual. Let's say the natural and the supernatural. Parables show you the connection. The fact that I can use this to illustrate the other means that there is a connection somewhere. So, I'm expected to think. I'll repeat myself again. The opposite of faith is unbelief, not logic. Not that when I'm believing God, I don't think logically again. That doesn't make any kind of sense. In fact, the way it is that the natural and the supernatural are meant to work together. I'll show you a simple one. Now, when in church, when we're planning anything with the pastors, and we pray, we fast, but we also deliberate and put people in charge of things who know how to go about it. Because you see, no matter how much you pray, right? You pray, you wait on the Lord, you now relegate your thinking. You know, you just leave your thinking behind. You have prayed, you've trusted God for something. You are praying for a meeting. Okay, let me use an example. And you are in Nigeria. So there is no meeting you are planning for that you should not prepare for power. And you say, no, the Holy Ghost is enough to give us, you know, and we have prayed for the move of God. You've done that. You put nobody in charge of the power supply. I have not gone to the right authorities to whatever you think I said. I didn't say anything. I just did like this. Maybe to pray or to minister. I didn't say anything. You are the one that gave it an interpretation. So whatever is on your heart, God judge you. And you don't do that. So, as you are believing God and, you know, the meeting starts, then they take the power. They say, in the name of Jesus, declare now that now nobody can read their Bibles. It's not like Brother Tokes, they took power one time in one of his meetings. And people thought it was a joke. That's how he started quoting the whole book. You know? So, they take the light. And I said, God, we prayed. The power of God is working here. Don't worry. You cannot read your Bibles. You preachers, you cannot read your Bible. Everyone's not looking. And I just saying, the word of God is working. The word of God is working. Now, your prayer was good. Your prayer made power available. But it did not have sense. It didn't have sense. You should add sense. That sense, it is that there's something you say in law, there's a presumption in your favor that you can use your brain. Now when you pray, right, you take charge of the possible. This is Nigeria. Go and get a generator. Go and get. Someone says, no, we don't do security. Well, I was a younger missionary. Then, you know, we're just freshly ordained. By next week, it will be 29 years ago that I was supposed to start using reverend. So, we now say we took a vow. A vow, yeah, I was smart. They said a vow of poverty. Our guy said a vow of poverty. That whatever the gospel brings, we will take it. In how many months, years, my guy started dealing in gold. So we're saying that we are going to build, when we have houses, we are not going to have a fence. Because we believe God is our security. How does that even make sense? By not even putting a fence, those who didn't want to steal before, they start thinking about it. They just look at you and say, a free food. Even the righteous people will enter. They will think it's the will of God. So that is not the, that's just lacking sense. It's lacking sense. And that's what it is. So faith is not the opposite of thinking. You know, sometimes when I tell people and I'm counseling them, they say, Pastor, and I say, go and think about it. They usually think it's a strange advice. Go and think about it. They want the pastor that will say, I just close his eyes and say, God is saying this. Go and think. Think. That thinking process is of God. Even the scriptures, it says, think upon these things. Think. Think. Meditation is thinking. So you have to think. Learn to think. So faith is not the opposite of logic or thinking. That is why Jairus' daughter was given food after she was raised from the dead. And by the way, it wasn't angels that gave her food. Same thing as Eutychus. They gave him food immediately. Because if the guy is, you know, it's just happening now. And as you are praising God, thanking God for the miracle, you will go back. And usually, it's more difficult to raise him again. Because you say, am I coming back to these idiots? So, you have to use sense. Let's look at one area that I reserved for the last week. Relationships. Don't appear like you're writing anything. What are you writing? So what did you write? Relationship. Is that what you mean? Brethren, eh? If the rapture will happen now, nobody here will be. 666 all over. The truth of the matter is that marital relationships are natural things. And that is why when you are married and you get born again, we don't say, no, you are not yet married until you are saved. Do you understand? No. Only believers marry. Which means unbelievers get married, and even though they don't even believe in who God is, yet, what they have done, God is okay with it. When they get married, we don't say, Brother John and Sister Mary, who thought they were married, but they've seen the light, that without the Holy Spirit, you cannot get married. Abraham was called alongside with Sarah. He's not after God called him and said, go and look for Sarah. They were married. before the call. And that's what it is. So, that means that it's a natural thing. If it were to be spiritual, then it would mean that those who got married before getting born again, and though I know some churches they call renewal of vows. I think they just like ceremony. That's what I think. They come and renew a vow, and it's time for them, you wear your wedding gown again, exchanging ring. And it's good, you know, and all of that. But the truth of the matter is that unbelievers get married, and it's acknowledged in scripture. So it's natural. So which means that as I'm praying to be led, some say, I just want to, someone told me, he said, you know, because I'm a man of God, I'm just going for that woman who just compliments me in the work of ministry. See, this is how you all deceive yourselves. You know, ministry, you know, somebody who is consistent, I know. Is that all? Say, first of all, that's all. This was a few years ago. I think it was three. It was in this place. I think the person is around. Don't look here. I'm not looking at you. And I said, let's look at the Bible together. You want to hear what I said? I said in Genesis chapter 6, even supernatural beings saw. That the daughters of men were fine. I said, which means that they did not go after all the women. That means demonic possession too has eyes. I'm not done. Look at Genesis now. Foundation of Genesis chapter 12. Look at verse 11. This is Abraham of the Most High God. Talking to... Now you see, the Bible is very big on details. If it's not important, it will not be written. Very big on details. So what he's saying in Genesis 6 is fine women. Right? So fine women even attracted the supernatural. Look at this one now. Wait. Abraham of the Most High God. When they got to Egypt, he said to Sarah, verse 11, behold, I know you are a... They ask you, is your wife, and you say, well, I don't know, I don't look at things like that. I know. And look at that age. I mean, for somebody to be at that age and still looking, and she's prayerful. That's evangelism. Amen?
Amen.
Alright. When they got to Egypt, the whole of Egypt, verse 14, they beheld the woman. Everybody was looking at, she's passing. Do you understand? So I said, no. I mean, we don't, believers don't admire people, it's a sin. How did the writers know? Was it the Holy Ghost that they write it? She's beautiful. So in the whole of Egypt, they saw it. The priests in verse 15 commended her before Pharaoh and said to Pharaoh's house, and you know, it was obvious that she was pretty. A fine woman. So, to be beautiful is beautiful. To be ugly is ugly. And you know that both beauty and ugliness are man-made. That is why we do... Okay, let's go for that. You see what I mean? Because the way you are looking at me like... Where are we? Look at Genesis 24. When they were going to get... Even... Eliezer, you don't have to tell Eliezer who to look for. It was obvious. And he went, and what did he see? Verse 16. The damsel was very fair to look upon. How will you miss this consistency from the angels of God to Father Abraham, for son Isaac, the only begotten, just like Jesus, to look upon, fair, beautiful to look upon. This does not require vision. You are not done, no? So say, well, I don't, it doesn't matter. Something is written in the, under the spirit of the Holy Ghost. You are saying it doesn't matter. Look at verse 26 and verse 7. The same thing happened to Isaac. The men asked of him, she is my sister, of his wife, Rebecca. She's my, he didn't, if you have to say she's my wife, why? Because she was beautiful. Can you see? The version says she was very beautiful. Very beautiful. Look at chapter 29. And verse 17. Jacob. Can you see how it's flowing? It said, Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful. Look at 18. Read 18 now. Huh? Now, is that a revelation? No. Rachel was very beautiful. She will be favored. Some say, well, no, I'm not dressing. I'm dressing for Jesus. It is Jesus. Look at Genesis 39. The Bible is big on details. Verse 6. Now this is Joseph in the house of Potiphar. He left all in his hands. And Joseph was a goodly person. Let me tell you what that goodly is. Handsome. Fine boy. You know, it's part of it. Yeah, he appears, you know, he just came from his father's place and go to Potiphar's house, and he's always smelling. But he likes praying. You go for follow-up and the guy is distracted. As you are sharing the word of God with him, the guy is saying, yeah. You know what I mean? I said, what's happening? Those are you not injuring the move of the spirit? Answer now. You are injuring the move of God, but that's a so. So what's happening now? Is it time? You have to receive the kingdom like a child. It was a vine boy. Right? Look at 1 Samuel 16. Before that. 1 Samuel 16 and verse 12. This is about David. It says, he was ruddy, with all a beautiful countenance. Good, fine boy. Abi? This is the same person, prophet, that God told Samuel, man looks at the outward. And God looks at the heart. You see, both mattered. The only problem with Eliab was, it was good outside but bad inside. David had the two. Have the two. Have the two. Amen. He was goodly to look to. Praise God. Have the two. This is inspired by the Holy Ghost. These words. By the Holy Ghost. And some. By the Holy Ghost. Chapter 17. And verse 42. Philistine looked about. That is Goliath. He saw David. He disdained him, for he was a youth, ruddy and handsome boy. Like, this guy is too clean. Shepherd boy. He didn't come from a wealthy home. That's not the reason why he should be dressing like a vagabond. So I'm just for the kingdom. I'm just for the kingdom. I'm just for the kingdom. Can you be more kingdom minded than this guy? That even the enemy, the devil said he's a fine boy. Both devils and angels recognize fine things. He's a fine boy. Those of you, we don't look at things like that. What do we look at? I told someone, I said, ah, this damsel you took is very fine. I said, I didn't even see it. Opposition. Opposition. You didn't see what? So who saw it? Yeah, guy. The Bible is big on details. Look at chapter 25, 1 Samuel. Ask thy young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore, let the young men find favor. The word favor there means handsome, fine in your sight. 2 Samuel 11:2. Bathsheba was a fine girl. Fine woman. That's what she was. Esther 2:7. Esther 1:11. Esther 1:23. The Bible uses such facts because it is a fact in human existence. Things looking well, looking good. So it's not carnal, right? The only carnality is if that's the only thing you are seeing. But here, if that is not something you are looking at all, then you are being foolish. Someone say, well, I don't want this prayer. Somebody who is full of prayer. How many of you pray again? What about the Sakara? You will pray. You know somebody who speaks in tongues. So when, this is not the day for this one. We'll get to it. When you want to make a choice, right, after you are led, even leading, you know when it comes to leading, wait, let me tell you how leading works. You will have seen what you should see. Right? You can't start seeing from the spirit. That's wrong protocol. You can't, you first of all see, right? Then you will now see. There's a first seeing. Amen. And look. There's a force, and this is also important because we'll get to this point. It therefore means that even those who are married should see this as important. So I said, but Peter said, 1 Peter 3. Ah, what about 1 Peter 3? I love it. Let's go to 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3. It says in verse 2, it was talking about the conduct of wives. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning, or plating the hair, or wearing gold, or putting on of apparel. I remember some people were using this in the 90s, they know women should not wear gold. I said, let's look at it together. Or putting on of apparel. Let me say it in English. We'll not see devil. So what he's saying is that I know you will look this way. In fact, this is actually a scripture to wear gold. Now you know in those you can't see way from here. And you can't see Jericho. They didn't have that science. The Jericho of their day is to plate the hair. They would say, well, I don't do fashion. You know, my hair is just for the Lord. There was a time like that. Men, in a particular church in Nigeria, men, husbands, they went to commit the general overseer. The women were always covering their hair during the day. Both at church, in the kingdom, outside the kingdom. When they now remove this thing at night, where would the romance come from? I said, honey, B. So the pastor has to say, please, it's only for church, oh. Let fresh air. Putting on of apparel, wearing of gold. He said, let it be the hidden man of the heart, which in the sight of God, you know, is incorruptible. The ornament of the meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price. Is not at any time, right, rendering unnecessary what you can call looking good. Look at the next verse. We just read about Sarah, right? Oh yeah, let's take that one together. For after this manner, in the old time, we've seen the holy women, you know, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being disobedient to their own husband, even as fine woman, pretty, so be pretty in and out. Some of these things, they are man-made. I remember one sister. I don't want to call her name again, I've called her name many times. She just went outside the country. She was a member of the fellowship. Not a single brother even wanted to be going out without an evangelism. When she came back, metamorpho. All the sports gone. I looked at her twice. After the fellowship meeting, that's how pretty we're going. One dear brother like that, he likes to speak in tongues a lot. You know, when to be asking her, oh, she's evangelism there. You do ask her where she was rushing. Who does not know better things? God made you to like good things. Amen? He made you to like it. So don't feel like it. You're of the devil. If you tell someone that you are looking beautiful, don't say, sorry, I was wrong. What's wrong? You are looking beautiful. Because the person is beautiful. Amen? Amen? So, the Bible is big on such details. The Bible does not ignore very simple things that are in the natural. We said earlier, the opposite of faith is not logic. Of course, this is not my today's explanation, but next week or the week after. Sometimes when people talk about being compatible, you know, they look away from too many things that are important in thinking. Too many things that are important in thinking. We're also going to look at that. So logic is part of our lives. God gave us a brain to use it. That brain will analyze information. That brain will calculate. That brain, someone was telling me about someone he wanted to marry, and I said, have you considered this? He said, sir, I want to go and pray. I said, I didn't ask you to pray. What I'm saying is look at this thing very logically. I said, I know, sir, I'm just thinking. I said, don't pray. We are prayed. You pray. Abi, don't you do prayer chain? You do devotion. This one, think about it. That's it. Think about it. I said, at your age, you are not in secondary school. There's always a butterfly in your belly. You are sick. What butterfly? At your age, butterfly should be in the forest.
You think, can this thing work?
Just let me pray about it. That prayer will make you confused. Something you can see that you are praying about it. Think about it. You are like this. You do this. This person does this. This person is this, is in this place. Think about it. Are you following what I'm saying here? Because that's not my focus today. Think. So God gave us brains to process information. You process information. You think. There are assumptions in your favor in scripture that you think. Do you know Abraham and Sarah, do you find anywhere and say, so Abraham, go and have sex with Sarah? There's no, he has sex. If somebody says you are going to have children, that means you are going to have sex. Simple. You expect God to be spelling it out. So therefore, he gave you brain, so he won't have to be doing that thinking for you. You say, I'm blessed. With the work of my hands is blessed. I know that. And you say inside. I went for a meeting in 95, I think. It was 95. So one woman came, she has problems in her business. I was not even in the business world there at all. But I had enough sense. He says, our business is not moving. I said, okay. So before I started praying, I said, let me ask you a question. I said, what do you do? She said, I sell. So I said, how's your shop? That she doesn't go to shop again. I said, why? She said, because she feels the enemies are there. I would have just waited my speaking in tongues. I said, madam, you have to go back to the shop. These people, I said, nobody will buy what you are selling in your house except your children. And they won't pay. I said, take authority over whatever is chasing you, but go there. How would you not? I said, someone was telling me, he said, pastor, and I was looking at that kind of foolish question. He said, I'm just thinking that this business we want to do, whether we should do this and do that. And when the person finished, this was just 2-3 weeks ago. So let me just tell you something. There's something I'm also working on. We're looking for brand ambassadors. And the people we're using, we're looking at their TikTok following. I said, let me finish. You see, there's one guy that I know, you look at his following. 500. 1,000. So we'll now pay them. They will now appear. I said, it's not Saints Community. That one, can't see the Saints Community. That one is unto Jesus. This one, Jesus is by the side. I said, who is the brand ambassador? I said, nobody. Last week, Tuesday, I think it's Tuesday, we had a meeting over one of those projects. And someone said, this person, I said, no, I have another guy, mentioned his name. Said that one, whenever he does anything like this, people, I said, let's go for that one. Someone said, there's another one. And he said, let's pray who to choose. Then I look at one fellow like that in one PCF. Who's all smart? Could that work? So he said, this is what we need. Meanwhile, there was one brother like that. When we did tell the world, he told us, said, we should put women up in front. I said, why? He said, because that's what attracts people. You know what he has done? He has crossed the line. That one is the ministry of the spirit. Your business is not ministry of the spirit, though. No. I said, we need people that will come there, and when the person just, all the person needs to do is to appear. When he appears, people that the person follows will follow. And you know, sometimes half of your advertisement is done. You don't have to persuade people. Because if they are following someone like that, anything the person does, don't say, but pastor, he's not a Christian. I'm just thinking that, you know, now I'm not asking you to endorse immoral things. You can just tell the person, please cover up for this particular show. When you now go out, but come in. Amen? You want to go and advertise maybe a product and maybe a hair product. A very good hair product. They're now putting somebody that wears scarf. even the host of heaven will look at you and say, are you mad? Now if you want to talk about piety, heavenly minded, use that person. Well, beauty product. No. That's what you want to sell. Say, but maybe if you are not, if you don't want to get involved in that, don't get involved. You can stay with things like selling Bibles. It will work. Do you understand? So, use your brain. This is pure business. Pure business. And in pure business, you simply lead after those who do what you want to get into. You read it. I was going to do a strategy plan for some, a group of people like that. And I got like five books. Five books in that field. And I read everything within 2 days. And I gave them the strategy. Said, this was what worked here. This was what worked here. This was what worked there. I didn't have to say, well, be led about what. So when someone was telling me, I said, I've seen what I'm going to tell them. I just read. It has happened before. Someone said, no, in this, I said, in the history of the world, it's usually a 5% difference. And I said, look at this and look at that. It's your brain. Use it. So get people in that field. Be educated. Education need not be in the four walls of a school. It's just the ability to assimilate facts around a particular field of endeavor and to be open to learn as well. Get educated. So, prayer does not forbid us from thinking. Did you hear that? It doesn't forbid me from thinking. It appears that what I'm saying is so basic. It's not something, I'm not taking any revelation. It's just good to bring it to the attention of believers. Because sometimes, like somebody was saying, a preacher said, in this ministry, we don't borrow. Now, that is not a business statement. Do you understand? That is not a business statement. You now took that one. See, I'm not playing down your business, so, but trust me, if you take that principle into your life, I don't borrow. Someone told me, say, I'm always scared. Now, of course, borrowing for leisure doesn't make sense. That one doesn't make sense. You know, you want them to borrow to go and do wedding. Then borrow money. So you want to have talk of the town wedding. Who told you they will talk about it more than one day? Who told you? And those who borrow that can't even have that kind of wedding. You just be managing. You will not be frowning under the veil. That's what's happened. So I don't. We shall lend to nation and not borrow. What were they lending? Did you read it? What were they lending to the nations? Money. Tell me where Israel lent anybody money. Show me now. That is not a business statement, though. Someone told me, say, I'm always scared of taking loans. I said, stay with your job. Stay there. But your boss, what does your boss do? Tell me, I don't think my boss takes loans. He will tell you. When the biggest economies in the world take loans, the richest in the world, you say, I don't want to take loans. I understand. You are rich in Christ. That's not a business statement. And you see, pastors will be saying it. Is it borrowing is a sin? What does that even mean? It's not a sin. In fact, many times when you want to expand your business, that's what you're going to do. Borrowing is, some people, that is the business they do. That's part of the value chain. In the economics of the world, you know, I say, no, in the kingdom. Which kingdom are you even talking about?
You sit down. Simply get a financial consultant. Let them look through your books, tell you what you can borrow, how you can repay, how you can... Very simple things. I asked somebody one question. I said, you look at your net worth. Then you look at your debt profile. Sir, I don't like those, sir. My network is in Christ Jesus. Is it? You know, that's... Don't be stupid. It's business. Not that you now see somebody has an iPhone, is it XX? And you say, you know, quickly borrow me 1 million to buy a phone. You are not well. It's because you want to add value. And when you add value, you get the result of the value. Very simple. When I was about, my dad told me, I said, how much did you guys take from the bank? When I told him, I said, what we are doing is different. You are selling block. I'm selling oil. I'm importing a finished product. I said, what would you have needed the money for? You want to build a city? If my city is not even up to this. It's very simple. And he was a bank manager. My dad was almost a director in the bank, but he was scared. And that's his problem. Do you understand? So, you take guided, smart. It's a simple thing. It's not spiritual. It's just common sense. You have something to buy, which would, if you sell it, is going to earn you, say, 100,000. You have 40,000. But you have the thing in your possession, you have to sell it. Then you tell somebody, you know, and they're going to sell it for 50,000 to you. You have to give me the 10,000. You sell it for 50,000, return this one. Simple. Don't say no. It has to be by favor. So you expect somebody to give you something worth 100,000, give you a 30,000. Would you have done it to somebody who was favored? You. Because I am favored. And I know you give me this for free. The only thing you can collect from me by favor, right now, is recharge card. Take and go. No. Think. Sit back. Get an accountant. Someone say, they told me in church today there shall be no loss. That's not in business. So. That was in a sheep. There shall be no loss. Get an accountant. They will show you the loss. An accountant now doesn't say, there's a loss. Say, never! Don't say to this company, there shall be no loss. The guy will get you a psychiatrist. You look at your loss, look at your revenue, your gross, your net, then calculate it. That is the will of God. Don't say, I'm not going to see it in Jesus' name. We walk by faith and not by sight. You better see the sight. Common sense. Don't take your capital and give. Capital. He said, I'm sowing by faith. You know, there's S-O-W. Different, it depends on what you are saying. S-O-W. You become a soul. It's your capital. That capital is not your own. That capital belongs to the business. It's where you now make something. Even in Israel, what they will bring in the barley harvest is the first fruit. Profit. If you take all the seed, put it in the temple, the priest will just finish it. So you will now go and enlist for the tithe of the poor. Don't you know what I'm saying? You are supposed to go plant, then when you have the first fruit, then you bring it as offering. Not, I trust in Yahweh. He is my soil. He is my soil. Then you take everything, put it in to Levites who don't walk. Somebody told me, said, I gave $1 million. I said, for what? Said to the man of God, to do what? He said, I just gave to do what? Said, I believe it's the harvest. I said, And then the man bought jet. Did he give you the jet? Said, no. Said, next time, you take your $1 million. find an investment banker, investment analyst, sit down, look at it. You desire to give 1 million, I said yes. You will now look at when would your own 1 million come. It has not come yet. That's still capital. You now believe God, right? That this business will yield 1 million. You don't take the 1 million and say, as I put it in the ministry, it will yield 1 million. Support in law. It's gone. That's common sense. Common sense. That's what it is. Logic. I'm believing God to give. So, I will believe God that my investment will yield. Not the money I put in church. That one in church has been spent. That's why you hardly see anybody, the ushers give you receipt after you have given. They don't give you invoice. For giving in service, take your receipt. That's why you cannot identify your own money there. It's gone. Are you following what I'm saying? You take wise decisions. Wise decisions. Is there sacrificial giving? Oh yes. But don't give what doesn't belong to you. If something belongs to your business and you have registered and incorporated your business, that is the money for it. Someone say, can't God tell me to? I don't know. How do you put God on your neck? I don't know. But my own is simple. Don't use God to hang my neck. How can I say it? Just ensure there's an increase. Paul says, let each man lay in store as he has prospered. Simple common sense. He says, let each man bring his capital. Eh? Even Paul cannot do that. Doesn't make sense. And that you have not done doesn't mean you are not in faith. Now this is not an excuse to be stingy and not say, well, everything is your capital. Come and give, Pastor, all I have is capital. You're getting, not you. Aha. Sit down and think. Take your children's school fees. Don't go and sow it. All your children have become altar boys. Don't do that to remove that man. Do you understand? Remove your house rent. Remove those walls. Do you understand? That's what you do. Don't go and give everything and now come to the pastor and be grumbling. What's going on? Well, because of the commitment we have in the meeting, I have to give my, but I don't know what to do now. Oh God, nobody asks you to give your brain to the laundryman. That's your business. Think. Are you here? It also makes you wise in your appetite, the things you spend money on. Some of you, your wig is more expensive than the value you add to your company. Somebody gave me a car. About two people. And my business needed the money. As the person was selling the car, I was selling it in my head. I found a buyer. I just said, bring the car. I didn't enter it. Because why did you enter the car you buy for? So I said, you're a nigga boomer. Whatever you like, call me. It's what it is. I sold it. The gift. Straight away. Put the money in my business. It's simple. It's not at this stage I want to go for one expensive dinner. This age. Indomie. Put proper sardine. And it will be fine. Say you want to go for, you now go and sit down and say you're eating buffet. Yeah. And they now took you out to eat for 50K. And your salary is 80K. Why would you have stomach pain? The guy said, 80K, he said, bring the money. Bring it.
So I said, can we go to Mama Ope? Ah. When I was working in VI, you didn't use to buy food in all those other places. It was all woman at the back of Burio Kola. And we used to buy ahead. After 5 days, we will now balance our accounts. Things like Amala. I mean, and we're running a big business. How come we're eating? Now go to a place, they put all sorts of ingredients on the thing. You'll be eating it. It's not sweet already. I'm like, they will not bring beef. You know you can do that before you enter relationship per se. You'll be going out, you know, saying, go ahead. Say, no, let me take the beef. The same way when you marry, you'll be hiding money. Mama told me one day, he said that all those poems you used to write, where are they? I said, you're already inside. How can I be writing poems? You're inside. They are not serious. I mean, so, let me say, you know, take it. What do you want again? You have saved up for that day. No problem. Say no. Say no, don't worry, I'll take this one. So are you sure? No. Yeah, say, let's go to dinner. Where? In the dining table. No! Marco Polo got macaroni. Let's eat that. You now be discovering new joints. That either two has not been revealed to you. So you check yourself. Be pleasing people. Pleasing people all over the place. For what purpose? Sound to please people? How do you know? You see the castle of your friend has a girl, you enter it. You lose taste in a few months. People will start saving another car. Until you sell your soul. Are you following what I'm saying here? Simple things. There are things that you will find in scripture. I said, thus hear the Lord. Planning. Finances, planning. I told a couple of girls, I said, what's your plan for finances? They said, we are believing God. I said, ah. Are you talking to an unbeliever? What's your plan? How do you intend to get a house? How do you intend to your school? You're not going to bump begin. You think, oh, before anything do you gish. Notice that most of those things are imported. The rate of the dollar is equally proportionate to how you desire. Quotable quote. Sit down and plan. Here I said last week, two of you cannot be in the business world together. Business world, we can wait for 1 month. You just be plowing hope. Be hope. A contract can take 1 week. It can also take 1 year. Do you understand? Now your wife is also like that. They are saying, no, somebody should go for the seen, I'll go for the unseen. Every month, we plan on that. They will be believing God for the bigger things. So while we are still saying, we are going to do this one, that's on the, but on the everyday level, we calculate on your salary. It's very simple. Don't say, fire your boss. The person saying he just wrote a book. Fire your boss. Salary is the... Sometimes some people tie your dream. See. You see? Well, there's something you say. And we are all selling and buying. That's what it means. The world is like that. That person giving you all those advice, he's also selling something. Say, fire your boss. Salary is the... something paid to hold on to your dream. Does that even make sense? When you see salary, there's above salary. There's some salaries, there are salaries. Don't talk like that. Some people can build, they can have a proper, they call it an entrepreneur. You're within an organization, but your thinking is of an entrepreneur. You can innovate. They will increase their value. You are working in the organization. You say they have not promoted you. Why would they promote you? Do you think it's the gift of the Spirit?
You have not done any course, no additional information. You are just going, all you have is experience. New information, zero. New technology, zero. New method, zero. Just say, but I've been here since. If you like, be like Methuselah. That's your business. You've added nothing. Then one young boy will now come in. The boy just came out. He's got the professional qualification. You say, all the enemies against my destiny. Or God, point to yourself. You are the enemy against your own destiny. You know what we saw last week, 1 Corinthians 7? Paul says, if you can get the advantage, use it. Is that very clear? When it comes to money, the rules that make money are not in the Bible. And the Bible agrees with it. Look for those who have money. If I see a preacher talking about investment portfolio, and say, and I see Dangote, I'll say to the preacher, Pastor, let's go here. This is where the grace is. That's what it is. Sat down with one guy, one of the richest men in Africa, one day, we were doing a breakfast like that. And he said, Pastor, I said, no, sir. I beg you. He's a Christian, he's a pastor. I said, let's leave pastor. Just be talking. You say pastor, that's how you're going to scripture. I said, we have a kingdom, soul winning, and all that. They now say you are going back. I said, we discuss soul winning when you have gone. I'll text you on that one. This one, let me hear your experience. And we talked. And I learned a lot from what he said. And he said, you are not forming. What are you forming? Being a guy whose net worth was about the company was about $1 billion. He's about 25%. You know, they are there in the business. You're not trying to show off how you want souls. Even the souls will be tired of you. Get the necessary information. Is that very clear? Investment, savings, all those things, you should know them. You know, there was a preacher like that. He told me something that amazed me. A preacher. Well, he's not in Nigeria like that again. Has traveled. He said, I never knew something called mortgage. I said, you didn't know. He said, I didn't know. How? So I just didn't know. And I said, look at this particular preacher. Somebody will vote me. I said, he made money in his business. He took half. Bought a house in Nigeria on mortgage. That money was able to buy a single house. Mortgage, and bought another one abroad. The two mortgage. The one he was living was mortgage. Then the one abroad was not taking the rent to pay for the one he built here. That's simple though. So no! I can't live in a borrowed house. Fully paid for, of his fullness! Of his fullness. Of his fullness. Common sense. Get the necessary information. Usually, and I'm going to say this, the problem with many is to strike what I call the balance. Usually people listen to one thing at a time. So when you talk about this, who just neglect trusting God? You just say it's all about logic. You see where the problem is. Last week we say it's not either or, right? It's this and that. I shall believe in God for financial supply, your needs to be met. You're also talking to people. You're also listening to counsel. You're also making inroads into different areas. They must work together. They must. When you pray, your pastor prays for you, there are open doors, you are helped of God. It can only work with common sense. You do the possible, let God do the impossible. I put here, I said, there's heaven and earth, there's natural and supernatural. Maturity is to know the difference and work with both. Maturity is to know the difference and work with both. We've spoken about beauty now. Some people now say it's not about character, it's about beauty. You see your problem? That's not it. It's both beauty and character. So I say, which one do you want? Beauty and character. I said, do the two fight? They don't fight now. I want the two. We only want a handsome guy, or you just have handsome, and the guy will praise. Does prayer stop the handsome guy? Does the handsome guy say, no. What do you want? Do you want money or commitment to the gospel? Money makes you committed to the gospel. Don't have that kind of thinking.
Anybody who's, somebody said, why is people having money like that? Question their faith. I said, I question your background. And it's bad company. That's what I told. I said, with the way you are thinking, we might not be friends. He said, why? I said, because you're always thinking small. He said, ah, man of God. I said, put it again. Don't think small. Ah, let's talk well. He said, my mentor told me, the work you do for 100,000 is worth 100 million. And he sat me in his office, and he began to describe what he was going to do, and he had done it. He said, I'm going to build, I'm going to do that. I was in his office, he just said to me, and I said, and he did it. We were in his office one day, somebody was downstairs, went to his office, and he said, Abro, let's get you learning. My thinking was, I won't be able to go home tonight. It was around 7 o'clock. And you know, people like that, you can't say, no, sir, I have to go. I said, okay, sir. He just took us to his private jet. See where I think? I think it was Lagos Ibadan Expressway, then Ibadan. The lockdown. We got to the private jet, I got to lorry, 30 minutes, we came back. The person who was outside waiting for me said, where? He said, lorry, I came back from lorry. He said, he was maybe in the spirit, I don't know. 2006, what's happened? Do you understand? He said, let's go to lorry. He just, I was with one man like that, somebody you all know. And the man said, was talking to his pilot. He said, maybe what we should do is that let's get to Dallas quickly. He said, we'll quickly go and check social person in Germany and we should be back maybe latest tomorrow. I could check. Then if it's possible, we can just dash to Accra. See how he did that follow up. He did that follow up. I'm telling you. You know, even though this is not the application of that scripture, but that experience what is called renewing the mind. You say, I say, hey. You say, let's go to New York. You say, oh, okay, my visa is there. Okay, I'll go to the airport. I'll buy a ticket. He just went. So in 2 days, he planned 3 continents. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
The person who now took us there, now carried the hyper grace. I was understanding to give the man. I said, what is this? This is the richest man in Africa. And I'm not saying you want to give my grace. The man said, okay. Just put the book among many of his books. When I'm calling for evangelism, let me not call for evangelism. So the guy just thought he says, pastor. I said, I'm not just a pastor. They're all laughing. Okay, so you have money for souls. Me, I don't have. Common sense. Logic. Plan. Look at your career. Have you planned it? Ask some of you, say, what's your career path? Dream about it. Dream. I know there's your passion and your dream. That's not what we're talking about here. Dream. God gave you imaginations, right? The sense of imagination. A dream you imagine. And you tell yourself, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. That's what it is. Sense of imagination. Read books around that area. That's being spiritual. When you use your common sense for what requires logic, you are being spiritual. When you begin to use the spirit for what is logical, you are being superstitious. So I say it's attack. Attack from where? So I've been looking at this business. I put this, it's attack. What is the attack? You didn't even wait. You fix your budget as a company. You didn't fix your salary. Say, this is my own. That's the reason why it is an attack. You fix your salary. This is my salary. And the salary will come as part of your budget, your overhead. You don't say, because if you don't do that, you've been spending everything that comes. And the thing about money is money. People will just know somehow. They'll just be calling you. Say, I have this one.
Then you start thinking like, you think the money in the account is spendable. You want to change your shoe. The one you are wearing, is it not enough for the pleasure of the gospel of peace? So you think, basic things that God has given you the mind and intelligence to do. It is not anti-faith to think, to plan, to budget, to dream properly. Don't dream a stupid dream. You know, when we're young, you say, kinde. So I should just have those stupid things. Just sit on your bed, be imagining that you're a president of Nigeria. Just thinking, I'll just. A dream that has no goals and reality is a nightmare. Sit down. Plan. Have dreams. Dreams for what you are. God gave you an imagination, a sense of imagination to be able to plan, to project, and use your mind well. Is that very clear? Use your mind well. So, read books, get consultants, we spoke last week about mentors, get people who can put you through. So, don't call me one day, he's a Christian guy, you know, I know we are good lawyers, so he was just saying, every time he's just talking, he would say, this project will be $10 billion. It's going to be $20 billion. It's going to be $60 billion. It's going to be $1 billion. So look, I agree with your billions of dollars. Where can we start? He said, all I see is billion. You know, it's how many years? Over 20 years. Is it $7 billion? Till now? This thing may just look like it's not going to happen. It's going to happen. These people sometimes have mental issues. And he said, I'm losing my faith. That's not faith. That is pure madness. Anointed madness. When Jesus gave the parable of the kingdom, he said, it's just like when you plant corn. It will move gradually. That's how it's going to happen. Are you following what I'm saying here? Don't know how to. I told someone, I said, even if you are an entrepreneur, act like you are resuming in office. Wake up early. Do some business. Don't just sit on your, say, my spirit is that of the spirit of an innovator. I'm an innovator. 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 5 o'clock, you're sleeping. Innovator. 8 o'clock, innovator. 9 o'clock, innovator. Ah, it's coming to me. Ah! You will suffer, eh? Innovator. I don't believe 8 to 5. Fine. It may just be laziness. And between 8 and 5, you are sleeping. I don't believe in 8 to 5. I believe I have the potential as who? If you don't believe in 8 to 5, believe in walking around the clock. Simple. Let's use our minds. Philippians 4. I just close from there. Hope you have learned something. Philippians 4. And watch your circle. The kind of circle, we'll talk about that circle of people you keep around. Philippians 4, 8. Finally, my brethren, what things ever are true, honest, just, pure, lovely. Someone say lovely. Good report, any virtue, any praise. Think on these things. Think. God has given you the ability to know what is true, what is excellent, what is noble. Excellent things, doing things well. So always give the place of the natural to the natural things. God is the author of nature. Did you hear me? God is the author of common sense. Did you hear me? He is the author of the brain. So the very source of nature is the supernatural. So use your mind. Don't forget, faith is not the opposite of logic. The opposite of faith is unbelief. Logic only becomes unbelief when it starts to rationalize how the word of God is not true. That's why we said faith begins where the will of God is. So don't make a presumption. Don't make an assumption. God has said that, you know, that I won't serve this world. And then you, that's how some people left the work of the ministry. I mean, they left school for the work of the ministry. One guy told me, he said, they just know, he said, look, I just think that I'm not called to go to school. I said, why? Well, it was a bit, he said, I just noticed that I'll submit my exam script and they won't find it. I said, which school? We know those schools. When they mentioned the school, I said, are you the only one that doesn't buy the exam script? He said, because of the burden on my heart for the nations. He thinks that that is the object of ministry. Yeah, he said, I now called him. Like one guy was giving counsel. I spoke to him recently. I said, when you were 18, I advised you. I told you to do things early. You can't have time for everything. There's a time for everything. I said, you can do this early. Sort this thing out. He now said, if at that time, he almost is insulted me. He said, he now said it loud. He said, I'm only 18. I have time. I smiled. Young man is now in his almost 40. No, he's over 40. I said, I told you then. Are you still 18? He said, no. He said, I really missed it. I said, I knew. I'm not saying that this is to just condemn or, but it's just the truth. You don't have the time. One of the foolishness that young people think they have time. You don't have time, oh. Look at the wristwatch now. Look at your time. It's gone. It's gone. If you wait a bit, it will be 14th of August. The Bible will say, you cannot save the day. You can only walk with what you have. So don't waste time. Did you hear me? Don't waste time. Somebody was saying, I don't know what course to take. I think I should do computer science. I think I should do professor science. I think I should do this one. I said, don't worry. You are still choosing. There's coming a day. They will say, volcanography. You enter it. Be fooling yourself. You will become so desperate. They will start using your name for jam question. Be thinking you have the time. Are you following what I'm saying here? Don't think you, oh, God gave you brain. Use it. Use it well. Use it. Sit down. What's your career path? You know, look at that. I was saying something. I don't know why. I skipped something. I was talking about something before I got to that guy. He said he has time. Okay, the guy that said he was going to ministry. So I saw him years later. I said, so what has your not going to school? What has he achieved? So he said, I said, MUG. National Open University. Noun. Go there. So that your children will not ask you, Daddy, why didn't you finish school? You say the call of God. They will be telling them to face their studies. They said, me too, I'm called. So he enrolled. He's finished. I'll be this year or so. I said, go. I said, me, I'm still in school. I'm still in school. I'm still studying. And I'm in the ministry. I don't know what I'm doing here. You don't have the time. Never think you have the time. It's a fool that wastes time. Did you hear me? And don't, see, I'll close here. Don't move with people who don't value time. They will waste your opportunities. They waste opportunities. I've seen major opportunities wasted because somebody said, let's just wait for next week. You know what they say? They say, this is just next week. People tell like, just next week. Between now and next week, a government policy can occur. I've seen it happen. We're trying to do a deal. We had gone, Satalani was with me. We had gone to do something. And we had sorted it out. We had seen the bank, all that. So the partner said, give us 2 weeks. That he was doing something, he had to go to South America, and all that, we just waited. I was in Forex. by the next week. That was 2015. By the next week, the government had brought out a policy. So the partner said, because of this government policy and the way the exchange is, they can't move their funds again. No, no. That's the second one, Zef. The first one, couldn't access the money again because of the government policy. If we are signed off, we'd have gotten the thing done. And there are sometimes too, you have to be patient when you have common sense. I went for a conference in Singapore in 2008. So we're doing it's a conference on crude oil marketing. I said, my partner, so we went there. So the guy was lecturing us and he told us. The crude oil was about $1 for something. He said, look, it's going to come down to 30 something. I started laughing. I said, how? This is July. He said, by August, September. We said, never. And I was just talking like that. Remember one meeting like that I went for in London? And one of my senior bonds, who's a partner, said, look, this guy, the guy sat down and he said, by this and this time, said the dollar will be 500 naira. I looked at him. We're having breakfast. So what's wrong with this one? I couldn't even imagine it. So my partner, that other brother of mine said, Chegun, if this guy was around in Joseph's days, God would not need to show a vision. They know how world economics go. It happened as he said it. So that school conference just reminded me again. I remember myself, the guy said it's going to be this amount and we're going to sign a contract. So I told my partner, I said, maybe we should wait a bit. We now had dinner with the guy. We're all, that day was very interesting. Some guys came from India, Indonesia. So we're talking about use of generators and why we needed fuel in our different countries. I was just saying, fuel. So we're not talking. And we're talking about use of generators, that third world. So we're just talking, if I stopped there, it'll have been good. I said, we use 4 generators. The guy said, we use like 2. And sometimes, I said, 2? I said, we use 4. If I stop there, I'll have gotten the glory or something. So I said, even sometimes when we're at, said, my son cannot sleep. He said, sorry? You use generator in your house? He said, let's keep it. He couldn't imagine that when we're talking about, he was talking about their industry, I was talking about house. So the leader, the man said, any contract you are going to sign, give it 6 months. When we go back to Nigeria, 2-3 weeks after, and we saw the prophecy come to pass, I told my partner, if we had signed that deal, I would have gone back to Ososa. And just start basic farming. Farming. You know when you start farming, it's like, again? because it has been a huge problem. That is taking the right advice. You'll be patient. It wasn't about prayer. I didn't see anything in the spirit. You know when it comes to money, you rather, money has power. You will not even think, you'll just be saying, this is what I see. If we are signed, those guys get signed because they were working for the oil commission of their country. So let's sign it. I said, sign. I've gone back to my village. I could go a prince. Hope you learned something. Stand to your feet. Let's just thank God.